But Truth Nation, also, we have an election coming up here in a little less than 2 weeks on Tuesday, April 7th. Early voting is open. And earlier this week, I was had the opportunity to speak with Maria Lazar, who is running to be the next Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice here in the state of Wisconsin. And now I am so excited to have her opponent join me today. Her name is Chris Taylor. She's the Wisconsin Court of Appeals District 4 judge. Chris Taylor is joining us here on Truth to Power. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Kyle, for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you on here because, again, I think it's so important as we get closer to Election Day that our fans and listeners have all the information they need to make an informed decision come 2 weeks from Tuesday. Now, Judge Chris Taylor, I want to get straight to it. Can you share your credentials with our Truth listeners and explain why you believe you are the best candidate in this Wisconsin State Supreme Court race?
Sure. Well, again, thanks so much, Kyle. There are three things that have motivated me throughout my entire career. The first is I care deeply about people. The second is I have a passion for standing up against injustice. And that was, I've had that since I was a little kid. Third, I love the law and what the law can do for people. It has the ability to strengthen communities, remedy wrongs, give rights, and protect those rights. And when I was growing up, I learned that the law can be a mechanism to improve people's lives. My grandmother was a single mother to my mother when my mother was a child and struggled to make ends meet until she got a union job. And that union job paid my grandmother a decent wage, a fair wage. She was able to support her three children and help my mother go to college. And she became a public school teacher. So I saw as a kid the power of the law. And I knew that I would be a lawyer. And here I am 30 years later after graduating from law school. I have been a lawyer, the Planned Parenthood public policy director, a legislator, and a judge for the last 6 years. And my passion and commitment is to stand up for the people of the state of Wisconsin and their rights.
Now, I love to hear all that. Now, if elected, how would you approach applying and interpreting the law?
Well, I mean, we have guidelines that guide us. If it's a statute, we have statutory construction principles. You look at the language of the statute. You look at the context of the statute. We're trying to figure out what a statute means. I will tell you, my background in being in the legislature is incredibly helpful and makes me a very unique candidate in that I understand the legislative process as a judge. So when I go and look at a statute, I know what went into that statute. I know the background. I understand the rulemaking process. So I apply the law in the most fair and independent way I can. When it comes to looking at the Constitution, I believe that the broad principles of the Constitution don't stay frozen in time, that they evolve. My opponent believes they are frozen in time, which is very concerning. Her originalism philosophy means that basically when looking at the Constitution, we go back in time to 1788 or 1868 when the 14th Amendment was passed. And basically she'll say, well, if the right didn't exist, it can never exist. I don't believe that.
I think that's interesting because my next question was going to be, what are some of the key differences between you and your opponent? But I think right there is one that I think when folks go to the polls, right, that is something to understand and know is that do you believe in the fact that, hey, it was written and the statute says this in 1788, as you said, or do things kind of change as things evolve and things change? And would you say that is a key difference between you and your opponent's platform and the way that you guys will approach the bench?
Yes. I mean, how can it be that our principles in our Constitution were supposed to stay frozen in time and not evolve as our society changed, as people who didn't have rights back then got rights? And so the Constitution is a broad set of principles that evolves. Now, it's rooted in history. It's rooted in precedent, how we interpret the Constitution. But I'm more a Ruth Bader Ginsburg person who believes that the Constitution has to evolve and address barriers to justice and barriers to equality that we experience present day.
Okay. Now, I appreciate all that. Now, although this is a nonpartisan race, Chris, it is widely perceived that your opponent is supported by Republicans while you are supported by Democrats. Why should voters trust that you will remain impartial and rule in the best interest of the people rather than the people who are supporting you and donors supporting you in their political ideology?
Well, first of all, most people supporting me are people in the state of Wisconsin with, I have over 20,000 people who have given a contribution to my campaign. Most of those contributions are less than $100. That really contrasts with my opponent. Most of her average contribution in the last report was $900. So I am running a really strong grassroots campaign. Why people should believe that I'm an fair and independent judge is because I have 6 years of being on the bench where I've been fair and impartial. I look at the law, I look at the facts in front of me, and I apply the law in the most fair and impartial way I can, with always an eye towards achieving justice for the people in front of me. My opponent, in contrast, has brought a very right-wing political agenda to the court. She has tried to issue decisions that are directly contrary to precedent. She has tried to release personal private voting information to groups that have tried to overturn our 2020 election. Thankfully, that was reversed by the state Supreme Court. She has sided with corporate polluters who dump toxic chemicals into our water instead of on the side of the people. And she fortunately was also reversed in that decision. She has a history of being reversed by higher courts because she does not follow the law. She pursues an agenda that benefits the big corporations and the powerful special interests.
I think it's quite interesting that you say a lot of that, because your opponent has claimed that you have referred to yourself as an activist judge. Did you make that statement? And if so, what did you mean by that?
No, I have never made that statement. Judges are not activists. Judges are not advocates. They sit and they listen to the arguments in front of them. We have to have an open mind, and I am very good at not prejudging cases, listening, reading the briefs in front of me, and making a really fair decision. Look, I have never been reversed by a higher court. I have had dozens and dozens of jury trials. I heard thousands of cases as a circuit court judge. I've written dozens of opinions on the Court of Appeals. Never have I been reversed, because I'm scrupulous in applying the law. That really contrasts with my opponent, who's been repeatedly reversed. I have the support of over 160 current and retired judges throughout the state of Wisconsin, including the majority of my colleagues, who are also the colleagues of my opponent. We're both on the Court of Appeals. The majority of those judges are supporting me. In fact, she does not have one publicized endorsement from any judge, because they know she puts her thumb on the scale. She does not act fairly and impartially. They know I do. That's my reputation. That's my history. And that's what I will continue to do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Okay, just quick follow up. So you never made a statement about being an activist or an advocate judge?
No.
Okay, sounds good. That's what she told me on Monday. So I said I would definitely ask about that. So it was good to know that you said you did not say that. Now, you have also stated that you agree with the decision not to enforce the Wisconsin 1849 abortion ban law. Can you explain your position on that from a legal standpoint?
Sure. Well, in 1849, before many of us had the right to vote, the Wisconsin legislature passed basically a ban on abortion. This law was not implemented because of Roe versus Wade. But when Roe versus Wade was overturned in 2022, there was a ban on abortion in the state of Wisconsin, which caused a lot of chaos and havoc for women who had pregnancies go wrong and had to be sent out of state to get health care. The state Supreme Court struck down the 1849 ban under the theory of an implied repeal of the ban. Since 1849 and 1973, when Roe versus Wade was passed, there's been a whole series of abortion restrictions, a whole suite of abortion restrictions that basically conflicted with that 1849 ban. So the state Supreme Court said they both could not coexist, and the latter group of statutes had basically superseded the 1849 ban under this theory of implied consent. And the 1849 ban could not be implemented. Now, my opponent has said she would have likely voted to implement the 1849 ban. I think it was the right decision by our state Supreme Court.
Okay, I appreciate that. We are being joined by Wisconsin Court of Appeals District 4 Judge Chris Taylor. Also, she is running to be your next Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice. Now, gerrymandering remains a significant issue. Many argue that Wisconsin's congressional maps are unconstitutional because they are anti-competitive and were strategically drawn to favor one party. As a judge, how would you approach a case involving alleged gerrymandering or unconstitutional maps?
Well, this is also, I think, a real difference between myself and my opponent. When she was an attorney representing Governor Scott Walker, she defended legislative maps that some election experts called the most gerrymandered maps in the nation. These maps had been drafted in secret. At that time, I was actually in the state legislature working on a nonpartisan redistricting process to take the politics out of it, to make sure that these decisions went to an independent body who drew fair maps. So I do support the state Supreme Court recently striking down these legislative maps. They were not constitutional. They did not contain in the legislative districts. They're supposed to contain contiguous territory. That means territory that's supposed to be touching. A lot of these maps divided communities, neighborhoods. They had plops of land that didn't touch each other. So I do think our state Supreme Court was right to strike down the legislative maps. On the congressional maps, I can't comment too much on that because that's a pending case that could come before and probably most likely will come before the state Supreme Court. But what I can tell you is I would look at the Constitution. That's one of the places we would look. We'd look at any state laws that were implicated, but it is incredibly important in the foundation of our government that it is the voters who select their elected representatives, not the other way around. And so I think one of the things that I would look at is, well, do these maps dilute some votes while elevating other people's votes? So really that core principle of making sure that each vote counts, each vote has the same weight, and the voters get to pick their representatives is respected.
Judge Taylor, thank you so much. We have two quick ones here for you. There's another case that has received a lot less attention than what we really needed to, which involves the legality of colleges and universities offering retention scholarships targeted at students of specific racial backgrounds. In your personal view, how do you approach the issue of race-specific scholarships in the context of state or federal law?
So once again, you approach them in the context in the law in which they come. I don't know how cases come at me. It depends on what arguments are presented and what arguments are made, what are the facts of the case. But I believe that every person is entitled to equal justice under the law, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their religion, their race, their ethnicity. That I am so strongly committed to. We have had a history in this country of discrimination. And what I learned from watching the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the law can be such a powerful tool to breaking down barriers, to making sure that people are treated fairly and equally. And those are the principles that I'm committed to.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You keep talking about RBG, which a historical figure. Sometimes I wish he would have stepped down before Trump had an opportunity to get in office. But my last question that I have here is Act 10 legislation regarding public sector collective bargaining was passed into law in 2011. Now, in 2024, parts of the law were ruled unconstitutional, and the issue may ultimately come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, what would your approach be if you were to hear that case?
So again, that is a pending case. It will most likely come before the state Supreme Court. So I can't comment on the particulars or how I would rule or anything like that. But, you know, I come from a really strong working class family, as I talked about, who survived because of unions. So I value working people not having less rights, but having more rights. I don't think we need more rights. And I don't think the billionaires and the most powerful corporations and the most privileged are the ones who need extra protections under the law. I think that it's the working people who deserve to earn a fair wage, deserve to have a voice in their employment. So those are things that I value. But again, if that case were to come before me, I would certainly look at the law. I would look at what the arguments are being made. I haven't seen that case yet. Mm-hmm. That case, I think, is in another district in the Court of Appeals. And try to apply the law as fairly and impartially as I can, with always an eye towards achieving justice for the people in front of me.
Judge Taylor, thank you so much. Finally, lastly, why should Wisconsinites vote for you?
Wisconsinites should vote for me because I care about them. I am running so that they have a justice on this court that prioritizes them, prioritizes their right to vote, prioritizes protecting our elections. Wisconsinites need a justice for the people, and that's what I'm going to be on our Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Thank you so much, Judge Taylor, for joining us here today. And I hope you're feeling better. And hopefully you guys can have that debate. But I hope you start feeling better. I know you had some kidney stones, so I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, yes. Get one of those, Kyle. I hope and pray I don't.
My producer right now, he must have had one, too. I'm hoping. I don't know how I avoid it. I'm just going to keep drinking water, staying hydrated.
Drink water.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you so much, and good luck in 2 weeks here. Again, that was Judge Chris Taylor, who just joined us here today. Election Day is April 7th. On the other side, when we come back, I'll share my recap. Now that we had Judge Taylor join us and we had Judge Lazard join us, I'll give my quick little feedback when we come back. And then also, Truth Nation, we come back on the other side. I just realized I'm not built for some housework, and I'll tell you what that means next.
More of Truth to Power is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.